In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, April 18th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In a press conference yesterday, North Korea's United Nations envoy warned the United States that, quote, thermonuclear war may break out at any moment, unquote. Listen to him say those words himself.
Thermonuclear war may break out at any moment.
This comes as a response to Vice President Mike Pence's visit to the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. British Prime Minister Theresa May took advantage of her Easter message this year to speak out strongly for religious liberties for Christians.
We must continue to ensure that people feel able to speak about their faith, and that absolutely includes their faith in Christ.
In stark contrast, a British magistrate convicted two Christian preachers for offending Muslim listeners simply by speaking of the exclusive claims of Christ to be the only way to heaven. Last year, Turkey's government arrested at least 40,000 people for political reasons, and it has shut down 140 media outlets, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Turkish president, Recep Erdogan, has been reelected and given a mandate to continue what some believe to be a route to dictatorship. New rules were approved in the recent popular vote to increase the powers of the president substantially, setting the nation further ahead on the path to authoritarianism. According to the new rules, the president can select more judges, the prime minister position has been abolished, and the president has been put in command of the armies. Proverbs 28:2 says, when a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. Arkan Seton, the immigrant from Turkey accused of killing 5 people in the Burlington Mall in Washington State last year, was found dead over the weekend of an apparent suicide. The family of one of the victims released a statement to the press in which they said they pray, quote, the man repented to God before his death. While this event puts to rest our fear of his release, we harbor no ill will toward Mr. Seton or his family and pray for their comfort as we know all too well the pain of grief. Unquote.
Keep your heart.
Yes, you
do. God, I come to heart.
Yes.
God, oh, let's look to them.
That's the 117-year-old voice of the oldest woman in the world, praying to Jesus for everyone in the world. Her name is Violet Mose Brown of Jamaica, and she was born on March 10, 1900. She advises against drinking rum, and her favorite verse is Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. According to the Violet Mose Foundation, she attributes her long life to, quote, my faith in serving God and believing strongly in the teaching of the Bible, unquote. Violet was raised in a Christian home, and she has been the church organist for, get this, over 80 years. No surprise here, Chick-fil-A, the Christian-owned restaurant chain, gets the award for being the most polite restaurant in America. In a survey conducted by QSR Magazine, the chicken sandwich fast food chain's employees said thank you over 90% of the time. Coming in second, Kentucky Fried Chicken. McDonald's rates 14th out of the 15 drive-thrus surveyed. On America's Customer Satisfaction Index, Chick-fil-A rated as America's best fast food restaurant, and its average per-store gross income is the highest in the nation, $3.1 million per store. McDonald's, Chipotle, and Panera Bread come in well below Chick-fil-A at $2.5 million per store. Deuteronomy 28:1-6 says, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, April 18th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during some of the darkest days in the history of the Western world, as America and most Western nations have taken a hard left away from a distinctively Christian world and life view. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me today. And we like to equip our children, our families, and those listening to the program to be men of Issachar, understanding at times, and that the Word of God would equip the man of God for every good work. It's so important, Steve, that we be equipped to understand the issues that confront us today. Today we're going to take a look at what's the latest abomination going on down in Sodom. And you say, well, why do we have to do that? Because it's on the first front page of the newspaper, and because these issues are being discussed in our churches as well. Elders, deacons, pastors, counselors are constantly being affronted with these sorts of questions. And here's the issue of surrogacy treated by World Magazine most recently. I'd like to quote from the World Magazine article on the issue of surrogacy. The 10th floor ballroom of San Francisco's Marines Memorial Club and Hotel has high coffered ceilings, Baroque style drapes and chandeliers, as 250 men in business casual filled the room early this year for the city's fourth annual surrogacy conference and expo. All eyes were on four female panelists at the front. The topic: how gay men can have babies using surrogates.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it's the issue of surrogacy, and it's becoming increasingly popular in America, the United States being one of the few countries in the world that allow for commercial surrogacy. In California, of course, the state with the most surrogacy-friendly laws. India, Indonesia, other countries have banned it. And so what happens is people have to come here in order to rent out their wombs to the homosexuals that want to raise little boys and little girls.
Yeah, that's interesting, because one of the things that homosexuals would love to try to convince you of is that this is natural. But if it's natural, I would think that they'd be able to have kids on their own.
Yeah, it's exceedingly unnatural. And, of course, that's what Romans 1 brings. This is not only a violation of the law of God and considered an abomination by Almighty God, but it's also a violation of anything that is deemed natural. Even those who have something of a understanding of common grace are opposed to this sort of a natural approach to sexuality and to childbirth. Surrogacy is costly, according to this article, typically more than $150,000. But even men with money must still find donor eggs in a gestational surrogate. It's a woman willing to rent her womb by becoming pregnant and giving birth to a child unrelated genetically to her. That is, there's an IVF process in which the child is implanted in the woman's womb, and then she carries the child for 9 months. And so her womb becomes a rented womb for a child who has parents that are mostly, or at least half, unrelated to the men who one day will be caring for that child. At San Francisco Surrogacy Expo, hosts encourage men to shop around for a surrogate. Moreover, the contracts involved give the IPs the legal right to make all fetal reduction decisions. Now, that itself is a chilling quote. That includes therapeutic abortion, killing one or two triplets, or killing children in the womb for any medical reason. Children with special needs are killed because they have Down syndrome and they do not live up to the expectation of the buyer. It's almost seems like slavery, you know?
Yeah.
But in the in the case of slavery, you typically don't kill the slave you refuse to buy.
Yeah.
This is the murder of babies and the killing of the slaves that are being bought and paid for by the people who are hiring them.
Yeah,
who are buying them.
It's just as bad, if not worse, than what Planned Parenthood is doing with the selling of body parts.
It's chilling, it's wicked, it's bad. It's wrong on many levels, my friends. Now, again, you've got to use the Word of God. The world doesn't have a standard for ethics, so the world's going to do whatever the world wants to do. The world's going to do some of the most egregious, some of those wicked, some of those unimaginably evil things that the world has ever done, especially in this generation. So expect it. You say, well, why do you expect it? Because they have abandoned the laws of God at the highest courts of the land. They have cut off their God's bonds. They say, I'm cutting off God's bonds, and I'm going to rage against God Almighty. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine of vain things? They've set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cut their cords from us. This is what the world has done just in the last 20 to 30 years. From the highest echelons of this land, they have abandoned God's laws and turned out to be some of the most rebellious, abominable people that the world has known. And so as Christians, how do we interpret these things? Of course, there are Christians sometimes tempted towards these sorts of things, hiring wombs, surrogacy. Christian families, I would say, at points may be tempted to this. But what's the problem with it? We need to apply the Word of God. We need to equip the man of God for every good work using the laws of God that are there for that reason. All Scripture has been given for this reason. Well, number one, thou shalt not kill. They can force a woman to abort the child if the child has a birth defect according to the contracts. If the child has Down syndrome, that's, again, a violation of the Sixth Commandment, Steve. Mm-hmm. This is murder, plain and simple. And as Christians, we need to repudiate these things.
Yeah, the problem is that they're buying into Peter Singer, saying that as long as they are unaware of themselves, and he even takes that into after the birth.
Peter Singer, the Princeton professor, who most recently has advocated or at least provided apologies for rape, as well as infanticide,
yeah.
Not just abortion. Peter Singer has actually spoken out for infanticide, that is the killing of a child after it's been born.
Yeah. Within the first couple of years, I think.
Yeah. They can force the woman to abort the child. That's a violation of the Sixth Commandment. Here's another reason why wombs for hire, surrogacy, is wrong. The woman who carries the child is forced to create an orphan from the outset. The orphan is an orphan from the point at which it is implanted into the woman's womb. The woman is forced to create the orphan from the outset. An orphan is a child who's forced to grow up without its biological mother and its biological father. That, my friend, is an orphan. Now, it may be partially an orphan or a full orphan, depending on whether it's lost both its biological mother and its biological father. I take this from Exodus chapter 22, verse 22. You shall not afflict a widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any wise, they cry out at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. That is, God says, don't you intentionally afflict a fatherless child. If you do, I will come after you, I'll bring judgment upon you. That is, this is an ethical statement. This is God's will. This is God's revealed law to us in relation to orphans, and that is, we're not to afflict a fatherless child. Now, arguing from lesser to greater. Now, listen carefully to me. This is the principle we find in Exodus 22. Arguing from lesser to greater, purposefully creating an orphan, is as bad as afflicting an orphan. Are you with me here, Steve?
I am.
This is essential for Christians to understand the wickedness of surrogacy.
Yeah, I understand.
To purposefully create the orphan on the front end is to sign the orphan up for a life of being an orphan. Now, granted, there are points at which, in God's providence, a child loses his father or his mother. But it's wrong to kill the father purposefully to create the orphan from the outset. Are you with me here?
Yes.
It's wrong to create the scenario in which an orphan appears from the outset. That's as bad as afflicting an orphan, or even worse. So arguing from lesser to greater on the Exodus 22 passage, purposefully creating an orphan, is as bad as afflicting an orphan. And moreover, purposing that a child will grow up in a home without an adoptive mother or without an adoptive father, ergo, in a lesbian home or a homosexual home, intentionally places another curse on the child. That is, to set the child up for that scenario from the get-go is, again, creating a scenario in which the child will live as an orphan. And then finally, the final reason why this is just all evil, this is just evil incarnate on planet Earth, is because we have reversed God's order of marriage. And rewarding homosexuality is not what the magistrate is to do. Romans 13 specifically says the magistrate is created to be a minister of God and a terror to evildoers. It's not to reward the evildoers, which is what they do when they legitimize adoption for the homosexual family. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Podcast.
Is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
We are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn in studio again with us. Steve, we've been going over this World Magazine article on surrogacy. And let me just say this before we move on. Steve, I'm a little bothered by Christian news sources that keep referring to homosexuals as gays. It seems to me that's a capitulation on the truth. And these Christian news sources are increasingly using gay as a noun and an adjective.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, when you say a gay father, which is what they do in these articles, think about that for a moment. What does that mean? Now, of course, the word initially referred to something positive.
Right.
And that was important for the homosexual. It referred to something positive, something good, something blessed, something happy, something that should be included as another beatitude. Say,
yeah, something desirable.
Matthew 5. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So, now, when you write in your articles, a gay father, you're either one, minimizing the sin, or describing the father by the sin, and characterizing him by that sin and only by that sin. So again, you're either minimizing the sin or describing the father by the sin. It's like saying a child molesting father. Like, let's say you're doing a story. And you refer to the person or the persons as the child molesting father or a fornicating father, touting the sin in a rather public manner and defining them, characterizing them by those sins. So either using that adjective defines them, characterizes them, touts the sin, or it minimizes the sin. It either minimizes the sin or publicly shames them by that sin. Now, which approach do you think these Christian news sources are actually using in using that phrase, gay father.
I think they're probably minimizing.
You don't think that they're trying to characterize and shame the man in his sin?
It's hard to tell.
But they're probably minimizing. Well, that's what the world wants us to do.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole purpose for it.
Yeah.
That's why Christians back right into it. The world wants us to call them by this adjective because they're trying to sell it to us. And Christians are taking the bait. Well, let's move on to the final article before we're done today as we continue to encourage you to be men of Issachar, discerning the times and properly equipped to understand how to handle these things before you back right into the wrong worldview, the wrong table saw, and you'll get all cut up yourself. And that's what happens to Christians in this society in which they're just hook, line, and sinker receiving the wrong worldview. And in the process, I think, violating God's laws at points. Now, of course, there's always mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that as well. As we come away from this discussion on homosexuality, there's always the possibility for grace and mercy at the cross of Christ. Of course, we must confess a need for it. We must say, wow, we're more messed up than we thought. Right? Isn't that the beginning of the gospel, is to realize there's a need here? And thank God Jesus came to die on the cross for that, for those sins.
Yeah, the gospel, the good news, actually begins with some of the worst news you've ever heard, which is you've been wrong all your life.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody likes to hear that.
They don't, but it's a beautiful thing to realize how completely messed up these institutions are and how completely messed up we are as we participate in these sinful habits, these sinful lifestyles, but then to come to Jesus and realize that's why the Son of God came, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's encouraging. Well, before we're wrapping up on this one, I just want to refer to this article that came out just a day or two ago. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is one of the Supreme Court justices, she confused Lindsey Graham for a woman. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg apparently referred to Senator Lindsey Graham as one of the women of the Senate last Monday because of the name. And I'm just going to refer to it. Now, the conservative media was just mocking her for her mistake. But what I want to do is I want to caution parents for just a moment. Because wouldn't you agree, Steve, we live in an age of gender confusion?
Yes.
Is that obvious?
Yeah.
I think most parents would probably say, yes, this is an era of gender confusion in which 10-year-olds are asking their parents for a sex change.
Yeah.
That's, and they're getting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's just wrong.
It's a sad, crazy day. And I think we can all acknowledge there's a lot of craziness. The entire gender bathroom thing with Target. And by the way, Target has come out and apologized and said, I'm sorry we did it. We just lost 25% of our gross assets because we joined into the gender confusion game. Now, I'm not talking to Target today. I'm talking to Christian parents. Christian parents, we need to be ever so cautious about this sort of thing. It doesn't help that parents are buying girl toys for boys and boy toys for girls or unisex names. Unisex clothes, unisex haircuts, unisex references, even sort of always referring to guys, 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 and morphing that into a unisex, unigender wording. Let's be cautious. All I'm saying is sometimes we participate in the external cultural applications of a worldview perspective with which we don't agree. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yes.
We're not consistent in what we're doing. We're sort of by default signing up for the wrong worldview, but we don't realize we're doing it. And let me ask you this question, Steve. In a world of gender confusion, should I be asking myself, what can I do to make it even more confusing for my child? Do you follow me?
Yeah.
A couple has a child. Let's say a couple just had a child born to their family, and they're all excited. They're about to name the child. And the child is born into a world of gender confusion, which Bruce Jenner is Caitlyn Jenner on the front page of Cosmopolitan magazine and the Wheaties box.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're at the hospital, you have a little child, and you're asking yourself, what can I do to make this even more confusing for my child? I know. I'll give them a unisex name. Now, is that wise?
Probably not.
It doesn't seem to be. To me.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be to me. And unisex names have become extremely popular today. It's amazing how many people are moving towards unisex names. 2016 apparently was the year in which unisex names took off. The hottest gender-neutral names of the year so far, Hayden. Hayden.
Yeah.
1,703 girls, 2,712 boys. Hayden.
All righty.
Then we've got Emerson is number two. Rowan, Finley, River, Dakota, Phoenix, Tatum, Justice, Lennon, Royal, Armani, Lennox, Oakley, Casey, Landry, Breyer, Baylor, and Frankie are the most popular unisex names of 2016. Again, from friends, why do you think unisex names are so popular? Why do you think gender-confusing names are so popular in an age of gender confusion? Well, it's because we're living in an age of gender confusion.
Yeah.
Kind of obvious. It should be kind of obvious. Now, some people say, well, now, wait a minute. What do I do? I like this name. The name has become confusing in my community. Now, what can I do if I want to use this name? Now, I think we ought to be able to redeem a name. Let's say a boy's name was taken by girls and the world created gender confusion with the name. The world just did that because the world is anti-God and anti-Christ. So the world purposefully gender confused a name. Now, how does a Christian redeem the name? I think it's possible. This is like food offered to idols. I think it's possible. It's possible in some communities, for example, that a name may not have unisex connotations versus another community. For example, in one state, it may not be gender confused as it is in another state. So again, we got to be careful here. This is somewhat of a relativistic thing. But when names become increasingly gender unspecific and unisex, then as Christians, I think we ought to be careful. Now, here's one suggestion. One suggestion, and let's say you like the name Dakota for a boy. Well, what you might do is you might use his middle name. You might say Dakota John.
Mm-hmm.
You see, something like that. So you say, is there a way that I could or our family could redeem the name and still use the name as a boy's name? I think there's a way to do that. But do remember, my friends, you live in an era in which there are demonic influences working very hard to destroy children and to create massive gender confusion by every means possible. Unisex names, unisex clothes, unisex shoes, unisex haircuts, unisex references. This is the age we live in today. And now girl toys for boys are taken off. The American Girl just released its first boy doll named Logan Everett. And Logan, by the way, is one of the most popular girl names and boy names.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unisex name. It's on the list. It this year is one of the most popular unisex names. And the boy is named Logan Everett because it is the first boy doll released by American Girl Doll. Another company, Boy Story, has released two boy action dolls as the co-founder wanted her son to have a doll. Traditionally, doll play has been associated with girls. The Ken doll used to be around, but it was targeted at girls to accompany their Barbies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5 says, the woman shall not wear, and the word for wear there is take up, the woman shall not take up that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination to the Lord your God. So the Word of God lays out in no uncertain terms that there needs to be a distinction between boys and girls, men and women, when it comes to the accoutrements. And 1 Corinthians 6 also brings this out. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That word effeminate comes from the Greek, and it's translated effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, which is homosexuals, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. Now, so what do we do? What do we do? We teach our children the laws of God and the faith of Jesus. Absolutely, friends. You teach your children the laws of God. You teach them the distinctions between boys and girls. You lay it out in no uncertain terms. Don't make it a hazy thing. Don't confuse them. Don't drag in the world's worldview. Bring in the laws of God. Now, of course, children will have troubles. Children sometimes will want to cross-dress, and children will want to lie, and children will want to steal, and children will want to disobey their mom and dad and say unkind things to brothers and sisters. Right, Steve? Hello? Hello? Have you had a child without sin yet, Steve?
No.
Not yet.
So what do? You teach them the laws of God, but then you lead them to Jesus, right? You lead them to Jesus. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. And yes, we can't overcome these things ourselves, but Jesus died in order that he might save us from our sins. You teach your children the gospel of Jesus Christ, of course. This is how you raise your children. Don't confuse them, though. Don't lead them the ways of unrighteousness, friends. That's just wrong. So let's be careful. Let's be sure that we're teaching our children the right way concerning these things, especially as the world around us has created politically correct sins. The world around us has institutionalized certain kinds of sins, and they act as if it's okay. Well, that's one of the reasons why we put together the book Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a little tiny hardback book called Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality, bringing out some of these biblical principles relating to sexuality, and also bringing in the wisdom of 2,000 years. By the way, the last 20 to 30 years of the Christian church has been some of the most ignominious years in the history of 2,000 years of the Christian church. So I'd encourage you to the wisdom of the Christian church, the wisdom of the Word of God in the area of sexuality. It's called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a little hardback to help you, to help your church, to help your pastors and elders on these issues. Be sure to get a copy of Keep the Faith for yourself, for your family, and for the elders or deacons in your church. And this book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.